Last week on Current State, Michigan State University Athletic Director Mark Hollis shared his thoughts on the postseason prospects for the men's and women's basketball teams in spring sports. He also described infrastructure and design renovations at the Breslin Student Event Center. In 2018, the home of Spartan basketball will become home to an MSU Basketball Hall of History and a 26,000-square-foot entryway. In part two of his talk with Mark Hollis, Current State's Mark Bayshore asked about the fundraising involved in such projects.
How do you feel about reaching out to potential donors and asking for money? I mean, you hear it's a political season. You hear about politicians constantly having to ask for money. And I mean, we're talking about inordinately large sums of money here a lot of time. Do you like that part of your job? Is that a challenge that you just soon not have, or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't approach fundraising as a salesman. I approach fundraising as value for an institution that had an impact on your life. And, you know, Nancy and I made a decision to give $1 million back to the school, with half of that going to athletics and half of it going to a scholarship from a student from the state of Michigan, with aspirations that they would continue to make our state better after graduating. If you can frame things in such a way that this place had such a positive impact on me and on what I've become, it's easy for me to frame that in others' minds that have the capacity, have resources, and really let them tell what they want to do and why they want to give. It's not, you know, we have this widget and we want you to buy it. We want you to invest in something that's meaningful and had an impact. When you look at the John and Becky Duffy, very much so. Individuals that wedding proposal, marriage proposal that took place in Spartan Stadium. Things like that those are the stories that are great. And I think it's less of a sales job. Chuck Sleeper and his staff and the Spartan Fund do a great job, but it's the people that want to step forward and do things because of the opportunities they've had as a Spartan.
On a more serious note, back in December, the state Supreme Court refused to hear the university's appeal requesting not to have to disclose the specific names of student athletes at Michigan State suspected of crimes. This was triggered by ESPN's FOIA request for those names. Can you tell us, have the names been turned over to ESPN?
Well, the university is obviously complying with the legal system and the rulings that came down. It's a situation that's much bigger than college sports, and it's one that I'm not comfortable talking about because it's bigger than the athletic department. So I'm gonna leave those questions unanswered, but know that, you know, this university is taking the appropriate steps for everybody's best interest.
Wonder if I might ask you this. I mean, the university has cited privacy concerns for redacting the names the first time, and some people cite the public's right to know. Do you feel the public has a right to know?
Again, I'm going to let the university be the spokesperson on this. It's you know, there are times when you have opinions about certain things, and it's best to keep those opinions to yourself, especially in cases like this that are still in process.
Last summer, you shared some details, some challenges of your life growing up in Lexington in the eastern part of the state near Port Huron. Your late mother apparently suffered from a disorder, Munchausen syndrome. Your parents divorced, and you were very candid about the challenges that presented. First off, what is Munchausen syndrome?
Well, it's a condition where you basically feel that you are always sick, need to inflict pain upon yourself, and then you start to project that onto others. And, you know, growing up, you think you have a perfect world, and you quickly realize that nobody has a perfect world and everybody has challenges. And by coming forward and talking about, you know, some of the issues that I had, relatively speaking, maybe not as great as many others out there, it makes individuals understand that they're not alone. And no matter what the situation is, no matter how depressing or the despair you may feel, somebody has felt that before. I ended up having a good relationship with my dad after several years of not talking. I ended up comfortable with my mom, you know, before she passed away, but very disconnected for a lot of different reasons. And I know everyone, you know, divorce is hard on kids. I think relationships are always a challenge, and individuals are struggle with themselves at times. And it's best to find someone to talk to, because once you talk, you realize you're not alone. And that was the message I was trying to deliver.
But you were an only child as well. Did that make it more difficult? Were there times?
Yeah, it made it more difficult at the time, and it made it more difficult, I think, in the amount of time it took me to discuss it, because, you know, growing up, you had to be creative and kind of find things to do by yourself when friends weren't around. So you're a little bit more, you hold things a little bit closer. I think my management style, I hold things pretty close, trying to achieve perfection. You know, your past impacts the way you are. And if people can understand that past, I think they have a better appreciation for how you make decisions and how you go through. So the only child thing, it comes with its challenges. You always want that brother and sister, and you have to find other ways to kind of go around those close relationships.
You suggest that you contend with this today, though, too. I know in Joe Rexroad's story here, he kind of half tongue-in-cheek, I guess, said, your staff laments how long it takes you to make a decision, and you say that you think of the high fear factor that you had as a kid, petrified of making a mistake and incurring the considerable wrath of your father. This still is something you contend with today.
Oh, it is. It's, you know, the pursuit of perfection can never be achieved. And my dad, he was both a minister, a preacher, and a principal and superintendent of schools, so it's kind of like the double whammy.
The ultimate authority figure there.
The ultimate authority figure. And, you know, my dad went through a lot of challenges, and a lot of that stress from those challenges got put out on me. And there are times when, you know, I would make the slightest of mistakes and be severely reprimanded for it. There are times when I was just living my life as a high school kid or middle school kid and would have challenges. So it's, again, I don't want to stress that I'm any more severe than maybe some others, but there were some impactful things that happened to me that I think to this day, I'm afraid of making a mistake so much that you really try to achieve that perfection and it delays your thought process a little bit. So my staff have to push me a little bit, help me with this decision. Did you decide on this yet? And
That's amazing, though, because I think the public perception of you is as a pretty authoritative, decisive kind of guy. I mean, you're credited with moving.
No, I am what I have to be, Mark.
Athletics.
Yeah, no, I am what I have to be. But it's, you know, things like if you look at some of our special events, like the Carrier Classic took 8 years from thought to execution. And those 8 years were a fear of what if things went wrong? What if this went wrong? What if, you know, the hockey game, what if people didn't show up? Well, those are extreme examples, but it really comes back to every day that how can we, you know, how can we move forward in a positive way and be as good as we possibly can to everybody's thought process, knowing that you're never going to achieve 100% satisfaction rates.
Was going public with the Rexroad article, was that helpful? Was that therapeutic in any way?
Yeah, I suppose so. Looking back, I think the most therapeutic thing is the new friends that I've established that have had challenges in their own lives, very high-profile people in this country that reached out to me, presidents of universities, media, dignitaries.
So once you were out there with that aspect of your life,
you opened up a whole new level of friendships.
Connections that you didn't have before.
They reached out and said, "I am so glad you did that. I've felt the same way for this reason." And, you know, you have the ability to become a better person by listening to their story. You've opened up a door for other people to feel better about themselves.
Mark Hollis is the athletics director for Michigan State University. Hope it's a great spring. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.